We are going to continue on the Lord's Second Coming. Last week we finished up an examination of premillennialism over, I think it was 3 weeks. We kind of examined the basic outline of premillennialism. Over the next at least 3 weeks, we are going to look at examining postmillennialism and amillennialism, which we kind of, at the beginning of when we started the class, we were talking, we showed three major views. Premillennialists has their different views within them, dispensational premillennialism or historical premillennialism. Then you got your pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, rapture premillennialist. The same is true with postmillennial and amillennial ways of thinking. Postmillennial is going to have a few different things, and even some other. They're going to cross over, but they're also going to have some differences at times. You can have, for example, you can have postmillennial that are full preterists, and you can have amillennial that are full preterists. And we'll kind of get into that maybe a little bit later. So we're going to look at today some of the basic teachings of postmillennialism. And so kind of a chart, just kind of a basic chart. You got your Old Testament period there. The crucifixion of Jesus, and then that period of time right before AD 70, the destruction of Jerusalem is the time that they would refer to as the Great Tribulation. And then you have the millennial reign of Christ begins. After that, Satan's bound during that time, but you have the increasing manifestation of the kingdom. It just keeps getting better and better throughout the church age. And then eventually towards the end, the last Jews kind of turn towards Jesus again, a large scale of them anyway. And then Satan's loosed in the final rebellion and then the judgment. So the postmillennial as opposed to premillennial, Jesus returns after the millennium, where premillennial is Jesus returns prior to the millennium. Again, the millennium based upon Revelation 20, where there's 1,000 years. 1,000 year, the premillennial thinks 1,000 year physical reign on earth. Postmillennial, and again, this is where we'll get into that when we talk about maybe the millennial part of it. You have some that will deal with the millennium being still in the future, a literal 1,000 years. Some of them, they call them the Reconstructionists, which is the more modern postmillennial, that we're going to view it as we're in the kingdom, but the last 1,000 years, which we don't know when that is going to be when the great increasing is going to happen. And so they think that by the time, right before Jesus returns, most of the world is going to be Christian. It won't be all, but it'll be most of it, a great turning towards that. And so they're going to they call themselves, and again, I'm not saying they because I don't necessarily agree with some of the things that they say. I'm saying they because we're going to try and give the definition of all of these as least biased as I can. But they're going to say that they're the optimistic view of the eschatology, which is end times things. And the reason they'll say, well, amillennialists and premillennialists eventually think that Christians win and Christ has the ultimate victory at the end, but their view is that Christ wins on earth before he returns is what their view is going to hold to. And so they keep increasing until the end is their positive, optimistic view. So they talk about, changing society through Christianity and politics and so on. To make society better, as well as get them to heaven. And so that's kind of their view, some basic stuff, and we're going to kind of break down, starting at the beginning and go through some of that now. But is there any quick questions that anybody has or before we go through that we might not answer?
Just looking at your chart there, so you have the events as 70 AD and then like where your squiggly line is. Mm-hmm. So is that representing, they don't know when the millennial starts?
No, so they'll... So
that period of time in there is unknown.
Right. Okay. So there's some differences between them because the Reconstructionists, which is kind of a Reconstructionist chart, the millennium reign begins, which in their mind would be 70 AD, okay, after the Jews are taken out of the way. And so then we're in the church age. It's a symbolic kingdom, or a symbolic, it's a spiritual millennium, I guess, but the last 1,000 years of it is where, which no one knows that. But yeah, some of the other, the older ones will think that the millennium doesn't actually start. You have the church age, and then you have the millennium that starts later. The Reconstructionists have kind of meshed those together a little bit to have, you don't really know when that time is, when it transitions to there. But there's always, that's why in the line you have the up and down as it keeps gradually going up. That's what they'll say. Okay, so you have your tough times and your persecuted times, and so that'll kind of be the downtrod, but it still continues going up as it goes, and you'll have those down times throughout the church age or throughout that time, but you're still as a whole, it's going to keep progressively getting better and better is what the view is. Any other questions before we move on?
Go ahead. Reign of Christ, that's when he was born?
No, that's 70 AD.
That's when he came back.
Yeah. So that would be 70 AD is when they would start that. And again, it probably depends on specifically on the post-millennial view, because some of them have it start somewhat before at times, like some charts do. But most of them have it start here because this is where the church kind of takes off.
It just means that's when the church is going to be doing, but not that Christ came back then. Like the pre-millennial think he comes twice, actually.
Right. Or three times. Yeah, and we'll get into what they think, that the post-millennial thinks of Jesus' return, because they do think he returned, but it's different than him coming back, than when he returns for the church. Okay, so we'll move on here. So the post-millennialist of the new view of the new covenant. Let's turn to Jeremiah 31. We'll start with the new covenant, kind of work our way through through the chart there. And so Jeremiah 31. Someone want to read verse 31 through 34, please.
Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and their sin I remember no more.
Okay, so the post-millennialists will hold to the view that the new covenant is made in Christ's blood, which, I mean, the premillennialists don't necessarily disagree with that view, but the premillennialists are going to think that the new covenant is still based with Israel, that it's going to take full effect when God establishes the kingdom with Israel. Post-millennialists will not think that. They'll think that the new covenant is made in Christ's blood with the church. I might be getting ahead of myself here. Let's turn over head to Hebrews 8, and this here, the writer of Hebrews in verse 8 through 12 talks about, quotes Jeremiah 31, verse 31 through 34, and then he makes the statement here in verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 8, if somebody would like to read that, please. Okay, so when the old covenant is abolished, then the new covenant is started. Okay, that's how the post-millennialist is going to view that. And there might be a hair overlap, if you will, with some of them, because the old covenant is not really an overlap, but they'll deal with the last days of Israel is what they refer to it as, the period between Jesus' crucifixion and the destruction of Jerusalem, which we're going to get to today. But So there might be a touch of an overlap where the premillennialists had that gap. I mean, the new covenant, the Jews rejected Jesus, so the new covenant, yes, is with the church, but it's not completely fulfilled until it's with Israel, okay, because of a literal method of interpretation. The postmillennial thinks that the old covenant is abolished, and the new covenant is started then, okay, when the old covenant is abolished, which the premillennialists thinking it's not, the new covenant's not quite fully affected yet. In Hebrews chapter 9, so I want to turn there and read 16 and 17, please.
For what a covenant is there? For where a covenant is, there must be necessity. There must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when men are dead. For it is never enforced while the one who made it lives.
Okay, that's good there. Thank you. And then, so the new covenant began in their mind then is at Christ's death. Okay, and you could probably vary a little bit with postmillennialists there. I mean, they're probably going to say, yes, you know, the establishment of the church, maybe they could, I don't know. But this is kind of the main point of this, is where Christ's death is where the new covenant began versus the premillennialists, where the new covenant has not fully taken effect yet. Because, yes, it is extended to the Christian, but it also is not fully effect because it's not with Israel completely yet. But the postmillennial will differ with that, with the premillennialists on that, where the new covenant begins at Christ's death. And I'll turn back to Matthew 28, please. Matthew 28. And somebody would please read verse 18 through 20, please. Matthew 28.
And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, immersing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Okay, so the premillennial or the postmillennialist, as opposed to the premillennialists, think that the new covenant will pertain to the church and not Israel. Okay, with the premillennialists, yeah, the church is grafted in, but it's specifically with Israel. Postmillennialists are going to think that the church is where the new covenant is based out of. Now, that would lead into something that postmillennialists, not all of them. Now, again, some of them are going to say this, and I put not all of them because, you know, you always have the random one that's not probably going to think that. But they'll hold their replacement theology, which is the church replaced Israel. Okay, so all the promises that Israel was promised since they rejected the Messiah, the church replaced them. Okay, I'm not saying I agree or disagree with that yet, which I don't agree with it. So I will say I don't agree with it, but we're going to kind of go through this. You're going to see a lot of similarities when we go through amillennialism. There's going to see some similarities here as well. But they're gonna differ on a few things. So the new covenant that Jesus established is with all the nations. So it's with the church, not just Israel. And so in replacement theology, I guess I got ahead of myself there, so where Israel is replaced by the church and the prophecies are now fulfilled in the church. So anything that the church has, that's why Jeremiah 31 says, "I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." Since they rejected the Messiah, the covenant was available. They rejected the Messiah, so that it went over to the church now. Okay, and so that's the replacement theology that is taught there with that and thought of with that thinking. Anybody have any questions on that before we continue on here? Comments or questions?
Is that what? That's why. First day of the week becomes they try to replace the Sabbath with the first day of the week to a certain extent. I
mean, it could be some of it, yeah.
It seems like that might be what the deal is.
It still is based upon, even the kingdom, it still is based upon something physical.
Yeah.
And you know, so it goes back to with that or with, well, God had the plan with Israel, but since they rejected him, then it's with the church. It's still a physical mindset still. Even with the kingdom, the reason that they think it's, you know, there's actually passages that talk about having to be expanded, and without getting too far ahead, but There's a lot of passages that say, like, the gate is narrow that leads to righteousness. And so the idea of that expanding and everything being mostly Christian before Christ comes back is hit with other passages that say the opposite. And when you have a physical mind on it has to be on earth, then it has to be, then you have to expand it and everything has to be great. But if it's a spiritual mind that the kingdom is not just on, is not on earth, it's a spiritual kingdom, you can have that expansion but still have the way is still narrow. And so, but that's where they're going to have to go there. That physical mindset still is a little bit of a play in a post-millennial, even though they have things right. Doesn't mean that they have everything right either. Continuing on then, so the post-millennial view of the Great Tribulation. I'll turn over to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, and somebody would want to read verse 21, please.
Then there will be a great tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will.
Okay, so again, there's really not a disagreement between post-millennial, amillennial, or premillennial on that the tribulation is going to be, this tribulation is going to be a great tribulation. Such as never occurred. The difference is when it occurs and to who it occurs to. Okay, and so the post-millennial, if you turn just a few verses ahead, verse 34, somebody would want to read that, please, of Matthew 24.
Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all of these things take place.
Okay, so the post-millennial hold the view that Jesus... that the generation that Jesus spoke to is who he's talking to, would not die until this great tribulation took place. Okay, so that's what, from verse 34, this generation will not pass away until all these things happen. So that's what their view is, where as a premillennialist is, they're gonna use the term generation, and they're going to say that's talking about the human race. Okay, not about the generation that Jesus is talking to. Where the post-millennial is going to say this, it's the generation that Jesus is talking to there that's saying that they will not pass away until this happens. So all these things that he wrote prior to this, or said, spoke prior to this happened. So the great tribulation that has never occurred since the beginning of the world and never shall occur again, in a post-millennial view, is dealing with those at the time. Okay, not something in the future still.
So go ahead. They believe it's 70 AD then?
Post-millennial believe it's 70 AD, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the one passage, turn back to Exodus 11, that they'll use for this, and I don't necessarily disagree with this viewpoint again. But... let's look at something brought up here in verse 6 of Exodus chapter 11. Somebody want to read that, please?
Moreover, there shall be a great crying in the land of Egypt, such as there has not been before, and such as shall never be again.
Okay, so what they'll say, the great cry or tribulation that Egypt underwent. I mean, it was obviously a huge destruction that Egypt underwent when God destroyed them, when he brought Israel out of Egypt. And so there was a great cry, this is from a post-millennial that wrote an article about this, this is what he'll say. He had other verses for this, but this kind of gets the general term, is that if the great tribulation is dealing with the world, then and not specifically the people at the time, then really what God says here isn't correct, because Egypt had a great tribulation during that time, and so such a cry that they had never had it before, and they shall never have it again. Okay, and that's what he's saying there, is that if they had a tribulation already, he's not tying it together. He's just making the point that. That the tribulation doesn't have to occur to, when God talks about that, he is talking about a specific person. So in their mind, it's going to be with Israel, and Israel at the time had never had a tribulation that they were going to undergone, and they never will have one again. if you put it up against AD 70, when they were completely wiped out and completely destroyed, and you know, the old covenant was destroyed, the Old Testament priesthood was destroyed, the sacrifices are no longer, you don't have any records of who the Levites were, and so they're saying that the tribulation doesn't necessarily have to go and talk about the world in general. And that's what the premillennialists will have, is that this, your 7 years of tribulation deals with the world. And so that's what the postmillennial is going to say, is that Egypt already had a tribulation, and if it deals with the whole world, then God spoke in vain here in Exodus chapter 11. Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with that, because I think that they are correct on the tribulation was during that time. But I do disagree with some details with that, and we'll get into that later.
Well, in the temple was the center of the whole operation, kind of, too, and that was
right.
Completely
right.
Destroyed.
Yeah.
All that was, so that was a great tribulation for them, for sure.
Right. And you could say, well, they had that destroyed earlier, but they didn't have the records destroyed and stuff like that. They weren't taken. I mean, people were led astray, or not led astray, but led into other nations. But they kind of intermixed. Where prior to that, when Babylon came and destroyed them, they still kept separate and were allowed to return. Which now it's not. Now they haven't. There's really no pure Hebrew because they've kind of intermixed, and so. There's no records of the priesthood, which they still had the records back then when Babylon took them over. There's no records of any of that stuff, and so that tribulation, and even though there was tribulation during that time, it wasn't as bad as it was going to be in 70 AD. 70 AD was going to be worse. And again, that's what the post-millennials and all-millennials will view that way too, but post-millennials view that way. So the great tribulation that Jesus talks about in Matthew 24 is not a worldwide tribulation, but a specific to a certain group of people is what they'll say. Since Egypt already had a great tribulation, it's not a worldwide tribulation that he's talking about here. It's talking about someone specific and who Jesus is talking to. So continuing on the great tribulation, their view, let's turn to Matthew 24 again. Matthew 24, someone want to read verse 2, please.
And he answered and said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here shall be left upon another which will not be torn down."
Okay, so I just reference in verse 1, the disciples point out the temple buildings to him, and this is what Jesus says. So the context of Matthew 24 is the reason we have it is because the disciples came and brought up the temple. And so the postmillennialists will believe that the context of Matthew 24 is referring to the destruction of the physical temple, because it's specifically talking about the generation that the people that he's dealing with, the people who have the temple, and the generation that he was talking to wasn't going to pass away until it happened. And so that's how they're going to view that, the specific context is Matthew 24, and they're going to go, most of them, not saying everyone, but I'm pretty much most of them, all of them, I should maybe shouldn't say pretty much most of them, but there's a good majority of post-millennialists that are going to think that all of Matthew 24 is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. Okay, there may be some that think that it's split, where some's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and some is talking about the return of Christ, and then the premillennialists have the view that all of it's talking about right before the return of Christ. So you have those kind of different views on that through there. So the next then during the Great Tribulation, turn to verse 15 of Matthew 24, and someone want to read that, please.
Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand.
Okay, so we're talking about the abomination of desolation, and since the abomination desolation in their mind, in the postmillennial mind, will and view will be something, was something that came before the generation that Jesus is speaking to passed away. So again, like the Great Tribulation happened before they passed away. What happened during the Great Tribulation, the abomination of desolation, was something that was going to happen to that generation. And then they refer to Daniel, again, like the premillennialists refer to Daniel, and they'll view that as the Antichrist. The postmillennialists refer to Daniel, and they'll view that as the destruction that was prophesied in Daniel of the temple. And so that's in Daniel chapter 9 as well. And we're going to examine Daniel chapter 9 later in classes in weeks to come. But that's how the postmillennial view is. The abomination of desolation came prior to that generation passing away. So then if you turn over to Luke 21, verse 20. Someone read verse 20, please.
But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then recognize that their desolation is near.
Okay, so how the postmillennial is going to view it then is that the abomination of desolation was an abomination is a taboo, something that's not supposed to happen. So the Gentiles weren't supposed to even be they weren't supposed to be in the temple. Okay, you could have the priest in the temple. Even a normal Jew couldn't be in the temple or in the holy place. And even the priest couldn't be in the Holy of Holies. But when the abomination of desolation, when you see the armies of surrounding Jerusalem, her desolation is at hand. So a Gentile army went and wiped out the temple. Wouldn't have been a taboo in the temple because the Gentiles aren't supposed to be in the temple. And they destroyed the temple. And they destroyed. So it's the abomination that brings about desolation. So how the postmillennial view that is that the Roman army, the abomination desolation was the Roman army that came and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. Okay, and so they'll compare Luke 21 and Matthew 24, which are parallel passages, by the way. We'll get into that more later as well. But that's how they're going to view the abomination of desolation that happens during the Great Tribulation, which happened before that generation passed away. Turn to Mark 13. Someone want to read verse 7 and 8 of Mark 13. Now, Mark is, this passage is also parallel to Matthew 24 and Luke 21. Okay, so what they'll say, the postmillennialists then will say, is that the nation rising against nation and kingdom against kingdom is referring to the war between Rome and Israel. Okay, so prior to that, prior to the destruction of Jerusalem or the Great Tribulation during that time of prior to AD 70 leading up to, there is the wars and rumors of wars, the nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Okay, now if you look in the Greek, I don't know if you can really for sure say that you can't make it plural, because it could just be singular. It could be Rome versus Israel, but don't quote me on that for sure. But they're going to view that differently than the premillennialists, where the premillennialists will view that as there's nations rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. The postmillennialists will view that a nation, Israel, will rise against, or Rome, will rise against a nation, Israel. A kingdom, Rome, will rise against the kingdom, Israel. And that's what you're going to hear, the wars and rumors of wars, because of the time during that time, during the time when Nero was emperor, or Caesar. And that's where you get their view on Revelation, that the beast is Nero, and so on. And some of those, again, differ as well. But that's what they're going to think of during the Great Tribulation. That's going to happen, and that's what they're talking about when it's talking about wars and rumors of wars. It's talking about the war between Israel and Rome. Anybody have any comments on that before we move on, or questions or anything?
It's a little bit
maybe a little closer to the truth. Like premillennialism looks, I mean, you just see stuff far-fetched just all over the place. But this, you know, it's not correct, I'm not saying, but there are some things that they're closer to the truth on, and it would be easier to maybe follow along with it if you didn't.
Sure.
If you weren't really paying attention, I guess.
Right. Yeah, and that's true, because a lot of it sounds appealing, and there's actually some decent arguments in a post-millennial view. And again, I'm not saying they're correct, but they do have they still have to stretch some things, too.
There,
but
there's some slivers of truth within
the
dollars. Like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can see where some of them are coming from.
Right.
Some of the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pre-millennials are just like, I don't know where you're coming from.
Right.
But I'm not going to say it's wrong until we look at all millennialism, too.
Okay. Okay, so I continue on the Great Tribulation, examining post-millennials, the post-millennial view. Let's go back to Luke 21. So Luke 21, verse 21 through 24. Someone wants to read that, please. Okay, so notice verse 20 we just read a little bit ago when the armies are surrounding Jerusalem, and that's the desolations at hand. And then he goes right into that, and he's verse 22, it says there are days of vengeance. So I have a typo there. They believe that the tribulation on the Jews was to fulfill prophecy. Okay, because God destroyed them because they rejected the Messiah. Okay, in that God replaced them with the church, but it was a fulfillment of prophecy. It was written about in the Old Testament, which is, that's why they'll go back and the abomination desolation was referenced in Daniel, and it's not just in Daniel that it was prophesied about; it was other places as well. It could be, but it's to fulfill what was written in verse 22. And you're going to have a discrepancy between post-millennialists on that verse there. Some of them are going to think that all of prophecy is fulfilled during AD 70, and there's no prophecy left to be fulfilled. Some of them are going to think that there's still prophecy to be fulfilled, as referring to Christ's return and so on. And we'll get into a little bit more as we go on here, because you can kind of see some of that as we'll go on here when you talk about the return of Christ. But it was. Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. They're going to fall by the sword. They're going to be led captive into the nations and trampled underfoot until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Now, again, you got your reconstruction post-millennial that are going to think that there's still going to be a return of the Jews, a turn of Jews, a Jewish turn to the Messiah towards the end. Okay, again, they think that the world itself returns to, obeys Jesus. As a whole, as a majority, even though there's still going to be non-Christians there on earth, but the Jews are also still going to be counted, and they're going to turn to Jesus as well. But the specific Matthew 24, Luke, Mark 13, Luke 21 is the dealing with the destruction of Jerusalem because they, and which was written about in prophecy, because they rejected the Messiah. So let's go to Mark 13, then. Mark 13, so we want to read verse 7 again, please.
When you hear wars and rumors of wars, do not be frightened. Those things must take place, but that is not yet the end.
Okay, so what they're going to refer to the end Jesus referred to is the end of the old covenant. That's what a postmillennialist will think. So when there's that's where they're going to get that the Great Tribulation, and sometimes they'll refer to it as the last days of Israel, or the last days of the Old Covenant, but that is when the end they refer to is the end of the Old Covenant. And that's why it says there are wars, rumors of wars, but that must first take place. It is not yet the end. So the wars and rumors of wars are not the end of it. Okay, where the premillennialists are going to view that the wars and rumors of wars, as it happens during the tribulation, are getting close to it anyway, but it's not yet the end because that all has to happen and so on. Where postmillennial view that as happening during the time of destruction of Jerusalem and the time leading up to that, but the end that they refer to is the end of the Old Covenant when Jerusalem's destroyed in 70 AD and the priesthood, Levites, the records wiped out, the temple's destroyed, the Jews are killed, the Jerusalem's destroyed. That's what they're going to refer to the end as. Hebrews chapter 1, I'm going to turn over there, please. Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 1 and 2. Someone want to read that. Okay, so they're going to say, okay, so the writer of Hebrews is writing to Hebrew Christians. Okay, so he is saying that God had beforehand spoken to us in the prophets, but in these last days of the Old Covenant. Okay, that's what they're going to refer to those as. The last days refer to the last days of the Old Covenant or the last days of Israel. Okay, or Israel being prominent children of God. And that's where, again, you might get some of that replacement theology transition part there is that it's transitioning from Israel to the church. And so back in Matthew 24, then, if you go turn back there, please. Matthew 24, so I want to read verse 27 and 28, please. Okay, so a postmillennialist is going to view this as the Son of Man, the coming of the Son of Man is Jesus coming through the Roman army to destroy the Jews. Okay, and that's how they're going to view that. And that's where you get your little bit of differences between postmillennial, where you have your hypopreterist, who think that it's every prophecy is fulfilled during the time, and when it talks about the coming of the Son of Man, that he will come, he's coming to destroy Israel through the Roman army. Okay, and that's where, you know, they use that there where the corpse is, that the vultures will gather, the corpse being the Jews, or the body of Israel, and the vultures will gather there, the army's going to come and destroy him. And so the coming of the Son of Man in their mind is Jesus coming on the Jews because of their rejection of him. I have one more on that. Oh yeah, Revelation 1. Revelation 1. Before we kind of close that point up. Revelation chapter 1. So I want to read verse 7, please.
Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him, even so. Amen.
Okay, so they'll view in this where it kind of comes into Revelation, then again, where it depends on the postmillennial and what term preterist that they are. And so this Revelation is written about the destruction of Jerusalem. Some of them think it's about the destruction of Rome, but we'll get into that maybe sometime when we go through Revelation. But they'll view this as Jesus coming when the clouds and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, referencing that Jesus is coming. It's a symbolic coming through the Roman army upon all of the tribes of the earth. And so they'll even say all of the tribes of the earth. That's talking about the 12 tribes. No other tribe is referred to as a tribe in their mind, is what they'll say. So all of the tribes of the earth refers to Israel, not all of the tribes of the earth. They mourned because Jesus came through the Roman army to destroy them. And so that's what they're specific. The Great Tribulation that they're talking about there is the same one as referred to as in Matthew 24. But Jesus' coming is on his coming, and even in some chart, some graphs will have the second coming of Jesus right before, like during the days of the Roman times. That's the second coming of Jesus, because he came back on the Jews and destroyed them. And so then they still have a second coming of Jesus. Some of them do. Some of them think that life still goes on for eternity on earth, and then you kind of have this go to heaven, go to hell type deal, and so on. And I don't know all the details of all that. We'll get into maybe more of that later. But most of the time, like in Matthew 24, when it talks about Jesus returning, he's returning to destroy Israel. That's what the postmillennials will view that as. Anybody have any comments on that before I move?
I just think about, like, just because the term is used, the same term is used, doesn't always mean it has the exact same meaning.
Right.
And it's kind of interesting to see that they fall for that pitfall, just saying, oh, it has to be the same thing.
Right.
But you can't just make that association. Mm-hmm. That's how a lot of people end up thinking the weird stuff they do about the Nephilim and angels
right.
in Genesis 6.
Right.
So that thing causes problems. That mistake causes problems throughout all of your theology.
Well, and I think that if you let the Bible explain what it is, a lot of times they use the same terminology for something different. I mean, I referenced it before. Daniel 7 and Daniel 8 both referred to a little horn with a big mouth, but they're both from different. Mm-hmm. But premillennialists will tie, in my study Bible, he's a premillennialist who put this together, and he ties both of them together, but they're not. They come from different kingdoms. So just because it uses the same terminology does not mean it's talking about the same thing. And so yes, even though I don't necessarily, I don't agree personally that the coming that he's referring to is him coming on Rome, because I still have a little different view, or him coming on Israel, because I still have a different view of what his coming is. I think that Jesus speaks of him coming in Matthew 24 for specific reasons, and we'll get into that later, but he's reminding people how he comes. Anybody have to tell you when I come back, because during this time you got to remember that the Jews are still going to think that the Messiah was coming, so there is going to be Christ over here, Christ over there, opportunities for people to spring up and, you know, I'm the Christ and whatever. And so Jesus is reminding them that, hey, when I come, you're going to see me come. You're not going to have to anybody tell you that I'm coming. Continuing here then. So in Mark 13, let's turn over there a second. Reference to the Great Tribulation again, a post-millennial view. Mark 13, verse 19 and 20. Just want to read that, please. Okay, so the postmillennial view is dealing with the Great Tribulation being prior to the destruction of Jerusalem, that those are cut short for the days, the tribulation was cut short for the sake of the church, okay, the sake of the elect, they're cut short, which it didn't expand to the church. The church was viewed as another sect of Judaism, okay, so it didn't expand to the church as much. Yeah, there was people that died, Peter, Paul, you know, some of those guys that died within that, because, you know, Nero hated Christians too, but he viewed them together, and God dealt the tribulation to Israel, but for the sake of the church as a whole, it was cut short. Revelation 7, if you want to turn over there, please. Revelation 7, so I want to read verse 9 through 15, please. Clothed in white robes and palm branches were in their hands.
and they cry out loud with a loud voice saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, the blessing and the glory and the wisdom and the thanksgiving and the honor and the power and the strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, these clothed in white robes, who are they, and from where have they come? And I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his sanctuary, and he who sits on the throne will dwell over them.
Okay, so the post-millennial as well as the premillennial will think that Matthew 24 and Revelation 7 are, the Great Tribulation is talking about the same tribulation. They differ on what the tribulation is, so the post-millennial still will think that this is talking about the Great Tribulation that he is dealing with in Matthew 24, which is dealing with the tribulation prior to the fall of Jerusalem. You're going to have some post-millennialists that are going to think, or maybe not necessarily post-millennial, but they might be amillennial that have a partial preterist view, which thinks that that Revelation is talking about Rome and the destruction of Rome. So you have that difference there of amillennialists will have some of that view, and some post-millennial have the full preterist or partial preterist, which we'll get into what that difference is maybe later. But they're going to, for the most part, post-millennialists think that the destruction of Jerusalem is what Revelation is written about as well. Okay, and so the same tribulation that Jesus refers to in Matthew 24 is that same tribulation here in Revelation chapter 7. So, Mark 13, turn back there again, Mark 13. So it talks about there in Revelation 7 about how those who came through the tribulation have a white robe. Because they clothed themselves, washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. In Mark 13, so I want to read verse 11 through 13, please.
When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved.
Okay, so the Christians who keep the faith through this time, the end, as referred to before, that the end is, they're talking about the end of Israel, the last days of Israel, the last days of the Old Covenant, the end of the Old Covenant. They'll keep the faith through that, they're going to be saved. The white robe in Revelation 7 is what it's referencing there, as well as how the post-millennialists will view both of those, is that the end is not the end when Jesus returns. The end is the end of the great tribulation that's dealing out tribulation to the Jews, and those who are faithful through that will be saved. Oh, that's all I had. Anybody have any comments on some of this stuff? We got some more to go through still, but anybody have any comments we talked about? Questions? Okay, well, if that, we'll stop there.